You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We are rooted in community support and engagement. Thank you for helping us stay on air.
Okay, wishing you good life.
Kwikwi!
Yo week, sis!
Tanet e, negat dakote.
This is Words and Culture, a series on Indigenous languages, funded by SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Tanet e, sezi lila gelde siriti. Se no bezi Cindy Kenny gelde hiriti, se ta bezi Bill gelde hiriti. Sine ejon son vake se kineshon, son vake tiat e. Se so tine ke satu tsekinde. Sine hiji, se ga go genete denekede. My name is Lila Gelde. I'm a singer-songwriter from Yellowknife, Northwest Territories. My mom and dad are Cindy and Bill Gilde, a Dene woman and a mulla or settler man who met and married in the small Tlinchon community of Edzo back in 1972 and live here in Yellowknife to this day. My grandparents were Marianne and Joe Kenny from Delaunay, Northwest Territories, and Bill and Joan Gilde from London, Ontario. I live in Yellowknife, which is the capital city of the Northwest Territories, which we also call Denende in our language, the land of the people. It stretches from the 60th parallel and our southernmost community of Fort Smith all the way to Borden Island at the 78th parallel, coming in at a cool 1.35 million square kilometers. Dene territory reaches up to Fort McPherson and Inuvik, where Gwich'in people live in harmony with our neighbors, the Inuvialuit, whose communities stretch further up into the Western Arctic. There are 11 official languages in Northwest Territories, and five of them are Dene languages. The aforementioned Gwich'in, and going south from there you have my language, which is Dene Kede, formerly known as North Slavey, Dene Jati, formerly known as South Slavey, the Tlinchon language, and Dene Suthline, also known as Chipewyan. Within these language groups are several dialects, and we will dig into those dialects during some of these episodes. My language is Dene Kede. I did not grow up speaking my language, although it surrounded me when my aunties or uncles visited, when we went to Delaunay for family visits, or when my mom spoke on the phone to our family. The language sits in my heart and on my tongue, but learning it was a choice I made later in life. I am not fluent, not even close. It has been difficult to learn as an adult, but I'm really happy that I made the humbling choice. My biggest influence and my first formal language teacher is my cousin Gloria. Gloria Nayeli Gadet is an amazing person, daughter of well-known author and photographer Morris Nayeli and Bernice Nayeli, a longtime teacher. Gloria is the mom of four incredible kids, a grandma to two babies, and she is the first person in the North to teach land-based junior kindergarten, a remarkable program that places kids in a cabin and out on the land to learn traditional skills. The kids call her Miss Gigi, and I thought it would be great to have her as our first guest on the Dene episodes of Words and Culture. And when you're talking with someone you grew up with, we have our own language, shortcuts with conversation, especially in English, because I didn't grow up speaking Dene Kede. But Gloria did.
At school, I remember, and at home, and everywhere we went, even the small kids playing with my friends and my cousins, we only spoke in Dene Kede. I just remember, I think I was fluently until I was 9 years old.
Is that when you started English. Speaking English?
Yeah, little bit by little. I couldn't explain how to translate to what we're trying to say in English back then. Grade 3, grade 2, they had, they're pulling kids from our class, and they said, special stuff. So I think, and I was like thinking, in my own way, it's like, why am I not special?
Oh, my God.
Later on, it was for special needs.
Oh.
that's it. And then I told my cousin, I told her that, and she said, I don't know, they picked me. I didn't need it. She was just laughing, and now she's like, we were talking about the back then where we were like, we didn't understand.
It's the nuance of language.
Yeah. Right?
It goes the opposite way for me. Like, if you put an apostrophe in a word, it changes the entire meaning of it. Like, beta mm-hmm. is your father mm-hmm. Or uncle. Beta means because, right?
Yeah because.
Like, that's like the one example I could think of off the top of my head, but there's so many more, especially tonally, like ze and ze.
Yes.
Ze, like ze said ze means my heart, but said ze means my gum.
There's all different kind of words to describe things.
Yes.
Yeah. And going back, it was easy for me.
Yeah.
You see it around, you see it in the gathering, you see it at home. So mm-hmm. it's easy for me back then. But when I hear it now, it's so, some of them I don't understand because it was so old, old way, like old slavey back then.
Yeah.
So we don't usually use that right now. I don't use it. Tlewete means gathering
together. Yes.
So it's like those kind of words that we don't barely use it.
Gloria mentioned slavey. Slavey is what the Dene used to be called, but it wasn't our name for ourselves or our language. It was imposed upon us by French traders who were guided into our territory by our southern Cree neighbors and called us Awokanak, as they sometimes raided and enslaved our people. This was never our name for ourselves, and our people were not an enslaved people. But as sometimes happens, a misnomer gets recorded and then snowballs. And now, in the last 20 years, we are finally starting to reclaim our names and place names. Some elders and even younger people still default to calling it slavey, and that is okay. Change takes time.
When me and the girls were talking like how we understood our way, mm-hmm. our new version of Dene Kede, and mm-hmm. we normally use every day. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't use it every day unless I see my people, my community, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and we live in Yellowknife. Like, our language, Dene Kede, that's not where our language comes from. So even the Yellowknives, like, who speak Willadé or the Tlinchon that live here, mm-hmm. it's different language than ours.
Yes.
Similar, still Dene language. I want you to tell me a little bit about your job because it's so interesting.
So my job is like a land-based teacher for junior kindergarten. So this is the first year they're opening that kind of teaching. It's all in Willadé Yati. So Willadé Yati is between Tlinchon language. Mm-hmm. So some words are the same and some are not the same.
Yeah.
So I can read it, but sometimes I can't say it like normally.
Yeah.
So I have to read it on a paper to understand it.
So you're multilingual, actually.
Which I'm trying.
Like, you're like tri or quadrilingual.
Yeah, I really want to learn Willadé and Tlinchon.
Yeah.
So I have a friend in Tlinchon, and what I told him is like, can you speak Tlinchon to me and I'll speak Dene to you? See if we can do it. He said, yeah, let's try.
Yeah.
Nothing happened. We couldn't do it because I said that was my goal.
Yeah.
Is to translate into different language, see if we can try to do that.
Yeah.
So it's pretty hard.
It's some similar sounds, but even the numbers are different, right? Like said differently. Mm-hmm. I know I was just in Fort Simpson in Kidlikwain, and they count differently. Like it's similar to our counting, but
yeah,
like kind of different. So
yes.
Yeah. I was just saying right before this, before we started recording, like when I thought about interviewing you, it was because you're my language teacher. You're, mm-hmm. You agreed to become my language teacher. But actually, the first time we kind of like collaborated on language was for my record, I started writing, I really wanted to write songs in Denikide. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, who's musical that is also fluent and also has poetry in them? And mm-hmm. I thought of you immediately. And you were like, oh, I guess so. What did you think when I first asked you?
I was somewhat excited and yeah. somewhat right away I thought of my family history.
Yeah.
As my dad wrote a book and he's a storyteller and my grandpa is a storyteller and I must have habit that I want to express how where I am, where mm-hmm. my grounds are. Mm-hmm. So when you told me, I was like, oh, I'm so excited to see how maybe this is how my language will start to be more and more. The first thing I think of is like the kids' music. That's yeah. how the language starts too.
Yeah.
So that was very exciting to start with music.
Yeah.
It was easy for you too yeah. when, and you pick it up really fast mm-hmm. with music.
Yeah.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the CBC Music Class Challenge called us and said, we really want a Dene language song for the music class challenge. They called me and I was like, oh, well, I have to write this with Gloria. So
and we did it pretty quick.
We did it quickly. Yeah. And now it's like been sung by hundreds of thousands of kids.
I know. I was so happy. I was like, yes. I teared up when I yeah. watched like Winnipeg or their school oh, yeah. singing it. It's like, oh my God, this is can really be like children's song can really teach the children how to speak their language.
Yeah.
Even somebody that doesn't speak my language can say our words. And that's really like hit me.
And then the MAP program came up and mm-hmm. I asked you to be my mentor. Why did you say yes to doing that?
When I first heard about the Mentor Apprentice Program, or MAP, I knew I wanted Gloria to be my mentor. MAP is a government-funded program that pairs fluent speakers with committed language learners, like me, to learn their Indigenous language. We spent a year getting together each week to study basic things, counting, daily conversational terms, relationships, and activities. It's a unique approach to language learning that relies on self-motivation, and really on the knowledge and the generosity of the mentor. I wanted to know why Gloria agreed to be my mentor.
I feel like you come from our family background, and your mom is fluent in Denikide, and you raised up here, and you're very talented music. And I thought, yeah, it would be a gift to give you a language that you want to be where your mom comes from. That's what I felt. I think you should have that language because it's strong. Even when you're speaking of it, it's a strong language. I can't say it in English because it's not strong.
Hmm.
So I want you to feel that strong connection with your background, where your mom comes from,
hmm.
and your grandpa. And that's when you feel that language when you're... And I know they understand that, like, sometimes us girls, we talk about it and we're like, we have tears with it. It's a strong connection, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I said yes, because me, too, I need to learn to speak more and more and more in where I'm come from, because I don't live in Delaney and I teach in Yellowknife.
Mm.
So it's, and I always remember that. Go forward and try to do new things.
Mm. Yeah.
And then that's an option for me too.
Mm.
So I'm glad I took it with you.
Yeah.
And you did really well.
See,
it was fun.
I came out knowing how to count to 10 for sure. But also it's good to know more than just saying ketele. It meant a lot to me. Like yeah. that's, you know, it's so difficult to kind of like mom never taught us how to speak. And I wondered why for so many years, but I think ultimately it's because she went to residential school and, you know, somewhere in there, it was kind of like instilled in them that their language, that our language like second best. And so I think she felt that to just like really nurture us in English and just push us forward that way would be the best for us. Mm-hmm. And then later, I think she felt sorry about that. Like she mm-hmm. regretted that decision. Yeah. And then my dad's not really good with languages. So he only knows like a couple words here and there. So it was too difficult for me to ask my mom to teach me because there's a lot of emotional baggage there.
Yeah.
And so it felt really good to learn with you. I'm really grateful.
Oh, like,
because, you know, as an adult, that's like, you said it's like a who we are, you know, like that, the connection to your roots, and it gives you that like base confidence of being a person in the world and that where you can grow forward, you know?
Yeah, and so it's a strong connection to mm-hmm. with relationship with the land and mm-hmm. the nature and family.
Yeah,
and I only say that because my dad used to talk to me in the strong words in our language, and it always hits me in the heart. But when it's in English, it doesn't really hit me. So. It's kind of like how I see it too in our language.
Yeah.
It's like.
Natse.
Mm-hmm. Means strong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to teach, like, and when I go to school, the children, they're only 4 years old, 16 of them. So I was like, how am I going to do this? So I made a song. And in the morning, it's like, they sing it with me. It's like, good morning, how are you? I'm fine. And then they clap, I'm fine. I hope that you are too. And then they say, masicho, danete, sega ka koneso. So they sing it every morning.
Oh,
it's like,
my gosh, that's so nice.
So it's like... That's the one that, like, when we were singing, I was like, I have to keep putting little songs together where, but it's, now I have to try to do it in Will a Day, because I'm learning too in Will a Day.
And we're sitting on Will a Day territory.
Do
you speak Dene Kede with your kids?
Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Dene, like the Dalene Gotina.
Mm-hmm.
And their dad is speaks English more, but he understood slavery. He was raised in Satu, so his parents were fluently Dene Kede. So, but he was raised as like residential too.
Mm.
So, I told my kids like same thing. I think about it too. It's. Today's world is like, oh, school.
Hmm.
And hockey. And they're all around by English.
Hmm.
And sometimes I say little words and I talk to them and they pick it up.
Hmm.
Like when I drive truck and I said, Adana sile, there's nothing. And they say, Dana sile, like they'll copy me.
Yeah.
So, but I was like telling my daughter and she was like, Mom, like, I want to get a dictionary to speak more and more. I said, yes, we'll try. Mm. But it's so easy to pull back to English. So easy. She's only 17 and she noticed that Mom, like, I want to speak my language. In my heart, I'm sad that I never did that. But now that I know that it's like our language is disappearing and I feel like, how can we make it strong?
Mm.
Not only my home, but my kids comes from home and I should be responsibility for that. But outside world.
Yeah.
Like schools and...
Yeah.
I know Dalene is strong with Dene Kede school, but Yellowknife is in Willade, so it's a mix.
Yeah, and it's changed so much in Dalene too. When I grew up here, well, first of all, I was in Edzo until I was 5 and I kind of spoke Klincho, like mm-hmm. little baby Klincho with my friends. And then we moved here. It's not like you don't usually hear much Dene language spoken around sometimes, mm-hmm. here and there. Or if you go to Metchokon or like, you know. But in Delaney, I remember when we would visit, it's all Dene Kedé. Everybody from old to baby speaks Dene Kedé. Now you hear more English with the younger kids.
Yep.
You know, I grew up not learning our language, but you and all of our cousins that grew up in Delaney all are fluent. Like mm-hmm. everybody, even like 10 years younger than us, 15 years younger, they're all fluent. Yeah. How do you see that changing? Like when you go home,
I feel like my cousins are like what in their early 30s.
Yeah, early 20s.
Thank you, cousins. They're like, I know they grew up in Dene Kedé, but when they're speaking to me, they're in English.
Hmm.
So their language, the young youth. Their language changed already, even though they know they can speak it, but then they're fluently like, and then I'll speak in my own language. They understood it, but I couldn't understood like why this happened so quick for them. And like right now it's like the world's changing and our whole surrounding is changing with games, whatever, like internet, everything.
And they lose that richness you're talking about.
Yeah,
that nuance, that richness of like culture, meaning, the depths of meaning, the words that are disappearing. Mm.
We need to, like when I look at it, we need to do more cultural stuff with these youth. Go out on the land, take them in hunting, and the people that speak it. Like, I was ice fishing and I was jiggling fish and I said, oh, sapa daichu, daichu. And then my dad said, corrected me. He said, daichu zidila wichu. He said, daichu means you're catching it with your hand.
Yeah.
Wichu means hook.
Oh, wow.
So I spoke, my language started to change
a
little bit more and more.
Yeah.
So I noticed that right away when my dad corrected me. And so I was like, okay, now I understood that these youth, our language already changed before me.
And it's almost like it takes so much effort to be able to learn it now, especially if we don't learn it as a child, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus the way that you grew up in immersion, you know, like just everybody spoke. It was just the language. It wasn't, you know, a big deal, right?
And they get shy about it.
Yeah.
I noticed that my kids, like, one of the kids is, like, trying to speak. It's like, I ain't dee. And it's like, and he's, like, shy about it. Because it's not normal for them.
Yeah.
It's never been spoken.
Yeah.
That's where the music came in. They're not shy at all. They're just singing it away.
Oh, my gosh. It was so nice to go to Delaney and sing. And all these kids are coming up saying, sing Masitsiniwe, sing Masitsiniwe. Like, there was like 20, 30, 40 of them. Like, oh my gosh, they love it.
Yeah. So that was fun to do. Like, I was like so happy when they told us, like, oh, they're singing it every day. It was like, I was like, oh, amazing. I want to see, like, now you witness how they're singing it, and that's fluently.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that we did that.
Yeah.
So
me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. Like, I think music does have a power to, like, people learn it in a different part of their brain too.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we should write more good songs.
Okay, deal.
Deal.
We end our visit with Cousin Gloria feeding me some caribou she has been simmering in her crock pot. It's the perfect way to finish up our chat, that and a bit of singing.
You're singing with their language. It's like, oh my goodness. It's like, oh
my gosh. My, it was Auntie Jane was like, oh, it's so good. You're singing in Denikade. She's like, maybe someday you'll just only sing in Denikade. I'm like, baby steps.
Baby steps.
Next time on Words and Culture, we visit with Paul Andrew, who speaks a different dialect of Dene than me, Ashuta Dene, Mountain Dene people dialect. To hear more episodes of Words and Culture in other Indigenous languages, check out our website at wordsandculture.ca or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Masi Cho, big thank you for taking this journey with me into Dene lands. I'm Lila Gilday. Masi, suri masi for listening.
Words and Culture is made possible with funding from SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada. It is distributed through Native Voice One, the Native American radio network. Words and Culture is produced by Kim Wheeler. Kaylin Belair is our audio engineer and editor.
Amia.
Yami.
Kachunautano.
Halakasla.
Kitaya kitamatunukua. We'll see you later.
This is Bird Note. It's the tail end of summer, and the Wilson's warblers had a busy few months. In May, courtship and nesting reached full swing. The tiny yellow birds made their homes amidst dense thickets in the humid and boreal coastal forests of northern North America. By early August, those forests were alive with flashes of yellow. Despite the attentions of predators and the vagaries of weather, many adult pairs have raised their four young, which flit and flicker amidst the undergrowth. Young male warblers, fledged in June or July, have been learning their father's songs all summer. Next spring, they will sing these songs too. By early September, perhaps after one last afternoon dip in a local puddle, Wilson's warblers will begin their migratory trek south. Flying after dark to avoid predators, feeding in cover during the day, these tiny birds are bound for Belize, where many will find a winter home on a coffee farm. So, if you're a coffee drinker and you choose to buy shade-grown coffee, you're helping to preserve the wintering grounds of Wilson's warblers and many others. Learn more about the difference you can make for birds when you visit our website, birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM.